Reading from Jivadharma, Chapter 7, Nitya Dharma and Material Existence. Omigana Timurandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Saksun Mugatangena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Tapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupakada Mayam Tadati Sapadantikam Sansha Kalpa Tarupyascha Vipa Shintu Baye Vicha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Yadvaita Gadadha Srivasade Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Reading from the Jivadharma, so Chandidas asks, my humble prayer is that you will be merciful to me and clearly explain what is this material existence. Anantadas Babaji, your question is very deep, and I desire that Paramahamsa Babaji Mahasaya or Sri Vaishnav Das Babaji Mahasaya should answer it. Paramahamsa Babaji said, Sri Anantadas Babaji Mahasaya is suitably qualified to answer a question of such gravity. Today we will all listen to his instructions. So we're in Chapter 7 of this fascinating spiritual novel of people coming to Krishna consciousness, the generation after Lord Chaitanya. And I'll just repeat again, the basic premise is that to love God, you must have the appropriate conception of God. The basic appropriate conception that I'm not the controller, I'm not God, and God's not material. And according to one's conditioning, one has a variety of these misconceptions. And to go forward in Krishna consciousness and to be convinced of Krishna consciousness, one has to have those doubts cleared by the proper teacher. So this is the story of those proper teachers living in Godvam Dweep, one of the nine islands of Navadweep. Where they're doing their bhajan, their personal spiritual practices, and it's the story of various types of people in life, in different situations of non-devotion, coming to their ashram and being enlightened by one or another of the Babaji's here. I believe the guru of them all is Paramahamsa Das. I get mixed up here. But anyway, the story here is now about a very materialistic person born in a kind of a Vaishya family, coming in line from Udharana Dhanan Thakur, associate of Lord Chaitanya. And that particular line is very, very spiritual. And as Grihasthas. They welcome Vaishnavas into their homes. They spend their money for Krishna consciousness. A certain substantial percentage is spent. So, but there's one family in that village that somehow or other is very, very miserly, and they don't embrace that type of community, and they don't want to generously offer anything to others. That's what Grihanadi is. Grihanadi means that you live in the house for envy. And envy means material consciousness of controlling the world to get ahead of others rather than serving the world to please God. It's a particular consciousness. Of being the center rather than serving the center. And because they're like that, their children become like that. And a very telling point is mentioned in the story that by the narrator is that if a Vaishnav family does not welcome the Vaishnavas, if Grihastha does not welcome their Vaishnavas into their heart, then their children become miserly and stingy. It's a fact anyway, children learn by the example of their parents. But that's one thing that gets inculcated down. If the parents are generous and have that root of Vaishnavism, which means to serve others and serve the Vaishnavas, with happiness, then that mood comes down to the children. You know, I'm here by the grace of Sachi Sutta and Kali Lalita, who are serving so nicely Satsrup Maharaj and Mother Kalini and myself. And I can see the effect that that has on their children. That their children are very respectful of the Vaishnavas, even if they're not sadhakas, but you can see the mood in their heart. So, the children conspire to somehow get the wealth, and they have an idea where it's hidden. And they send their parents on a pilgrimage, and then they plunder all the wealth. And there's a Vaishnavi that's kind of sent along with them, a very nice devotee lady. And they're crushed, Chandidas and Damayanti, his wife. But this Vaishnavi is very wise, and she says, if you go back, they'll probably just kill you. So they wind up probably practically as beggars. They have hardly anything, and they kind of open up just an inn where they can kind of house one or two Vaishnavas and cook for them and maybe get a little money. And the people in the town, they're Vaishnavas, and they kind of help them. And then they become impressed by this one Vaishnava Brahmin named Yadavadas. And him and his wife always engaged in serving the Vaishnavas. And then they became inspired to do the same. Shyamadas would lecture every day on the Chaitanya Mangala, and Chandidas would go hear those lectures. And when they would see this Shyamadas and his wife, they became inspired. So one day Chandidas inquired, what is this material existence? What is it? He said, no, I don't really feel so qualified to answer you, but there's these great Vaishnavas on the eastern bank of the Bhagirata or the Ganga in Godrumdweep, and let's see them. And I go there time to time, and I receive instructions. And presently, we heard that they're so humble and learned, but they've actually are more expert than the other Brahmin scholars, because they had kind of just defeated them, not even wanting to argue, because a Vaishnava doesn't have that nature, but to defend themselves and to defend their lineage. So that also kind of got around, that they defeated the smarta Brahmins, the ritualistic Brahmins. And somehow they go, and Damayanti also goes, even though it's renunciate, she said, I'll just stay outside and pay my respect. So now we're at the part where this Chandidas gets to meet these Babajis and ask this question. And Paramahamsa Babaji, he defers it to the Sanatana Das. So we're going to read from that. And remember, I was lecturing, but my iPad didn't have this hat. So we're just going to go through the chapter again and get up to the part we're at. Sanatana Das, when I received your order... I must certainly say whatever I know. I shall begin by remembering the lotus feet of my Gurudev, Sri Pradyumna Brahmachari, confidential associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he's a direct disciple of one of the great associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he explains that, you know, basically the jivas exist in two states, Mukta Das and Samsara Bhada Das. Those who are liberated, and those in a state of bondage. And those who are liberated have never touched Maya, never been bound to Maya, and they're known as Mukta Jeeves. And their liberated state is known as Mukta Dasha, not Dasa, but Dasha, the platform of liberation. And the Buddha Jeeves, the conditioned souls, he explains, on the other hand, are those who are oblivious to Krishna, and they've fallen into the clutches of Maya since time and beginning. And their state of existence is known as Samsara Baddha Dasha, the state of being bound in the cycle of birth and death. The jivas who are liberated are Chinmayai, fully spiritual, and their life is service to Krishna, Krishna Dasya. They don't reside in this material world, but in the pure spiritual worlds of Goloka, Vaikuntha, Vrindavan. There are innumerable, you can't even count how many living entities are liberated from Maya. And the jivas who are bound are also innumerable. Due to their Krishna Vimukta, the defect of alienation from Krishna, Vimukta, to very much turn away from Krishna. It's a consciousness within that one doesn't want God. And we have to analyze in our lives, how much do we really want God? Authority, actually. Sublime spiritual slavery. How much do we actually want God? How much are we facing God by finding his instructions and embracing them in our lives? Due to their Krishna Vimukta, effect of alienation from Krishna, Krishna's shadow potency known as Chaya Shakti or Maya, binds the jiva with their three-stranded ropes consisting of the three modes of nature, Sattva, Rajas, and Tamas. So they're bound by different ropes of matter, strands of matter that allow one to turn away from Krishna in different ways, either in inertia or intense activity or even goodness. Peacefulness. doesn't necessarily, Satvagun doesn't necessarily mean bhakti. That's why Narada Muni couldn't, after he saw God, that's why Narada Muni, after he got Sakshad Darshan, he saw God, he couldn't stay with that vision. Because there was a material taint. He was attached to something besides the service of Krishna, and that was the mode of goodness. He was attached to his peacefulness. But that's a personal desire. The conditioned soul appears in a variety of states of existence according to the influence of the various gradations of these gunas. Just consider the varieties in the jiva's bodies, moods, appearance, nature, living conditions, and movement. When the jiva enters material existence, he takes on a new type of egoism. So material existence means a different identity. That is the core of material existence. Material existence is an identity, it's an ego. And spiritual existence is also an identity or ego. It's not a false ego, it's a real ego. And it's going to explain here. In the pure state of existence, the jiva has the egoism of being a servant of Krishna. But in the conditioned state, many different types of egoism arise, making the living entity think, I am a human being, I am a devata, I am an animal, I am a king, I am a brahmin, I am an outcast, I am diseased, I am hungry, I am dishonest, I am charitable, I am husband, I am wife, I am father, I am son, I am an enemy, I am a friend, I am a scholar, I am handsome, I am wealthy, I am poor, I am happy, I am sad, I am strong, I am weak. These attitudes are known as ahamta, which literally means sense of I-ness or false egoism. So these are all identities in relationship to the false conception of life, the enjoyer and controller, which manifest in terms of the body. It's basically an identification with the body. Again, what I mentioned is the false ego is a subtle material element that delimits consciousness to a particular. It delimits consciousness to a particular body and therefore a particular identity. Body is given by nature according to one's deeds and desires, and according to that body, then one thinks, I am this, I am that, I am this, I am that, I am this, I am that, I am this, I am that. And it's so strong that we believe it. And besides this ahamta, another function known as mamata, possessiveness of the sense of minus, enters the nature of the jiva. This is exemplified in attitudes. This is my house. So one is this is who I am, and this is what's mine. So these are my possessions. This is my wealth. This is my body. These are my children. This is my wife. This is my husband. This is my father. This is my mother. This is my caste, this is my race, this is my strength, this is my beauty, this is my quality, this is my learning, my renunciation, this is my knowledge, this is my wisdom, this is my work, this is my property, and these are my servants and dependents. One time Prabhupada was staying in a house and some Indians came, wealthy Indians, and they came in. This is my uncle, this is my son, and this is my daughter, and this is my grandchildren, this is it. And when they walked out, Prabhupada looked to his disciples and said, this is my sex life. The colossal affair that brings the conceptions of I and mine into play is known as samsara material. So what is material existence? It's ahamta and mamata. It's the false identity of the self and the false conception of possessiveness. Yadavadas, the conception of I and mine are active in the conditioned state, but that they also exist in the liberated state? Very good question. And not the dust, they do, but in the liberated state, they are spiritual and free from all defect. In the liberated state, in the spiritual world, the jiva becomes acquainted with his pure nature exactly as it was created by Bhagavan. In that spiritual abode, there are many types of real egoism, each with its own characteristic of I. So there are so many types of chidrasa, transcendental exchanges of sentiments, all the different chinmayai upakaranas, spiritual paraphernalia, which form the constitutional ingredients of rasa, come under the headings of mind. So yes, there's a chidrasa, a spiritual relationship, which doesn't put one in the center. It's basically, I am not the center, not I am the center. I am not the center. I am the servant of Krishna. I am a cowherd boy as a servant of Krishna. I am a gopi as a servant of Krishna. And this is my cowherd boy stick, and this is my sari. And this is my kumkum. And this is my flute. This is my buffalo horn. Yadavadas, then what is the defect of the different conceptions of I and mine that exist in the conditioned state? Very good question. The defect is that in the pure state, the conceptions of I and mine are real, whereas in material existence, they are all imaginary or imposed upon the living entity. So in the pure state, they're real and they are in relationship to the service of Krishna, because that is what reality is. Reality is that there is a God and it's not us. Reality is that we're part of something great, and that itself is great. That means that these conceptions are not actual aspects of the jiva. The defects are real, whereas in the material existence, they are imaginary, imposed upon the living entity. This means that the conceptions are not actual aspects of the jiva, but are all false identities and relationships. Consequently, all varieties of material identification and mundane existence are impermanent and unreal, and only cause momentary happiness and distress. So they're not real. Because I am not wealthy, I am not poor, I am not all these material designations. The basic definition of bhakti is sarvapadi vinir muktam tatpura twain aniyamalam rishikena rishikesha sevanam bhakta uchite. What is bhakti? Sarvapadi vinir muktam. We are completely liberated from all false designations. Mukhir hitva yata rupam sarupena vivastita. Mukhir hitva yata rupam. We become free from the false rupa or the false identity, sarupena, and we become situated in our real identity. Yadavadas, is this deceptive material existence false? Anantadas, no. This deceptive world is not false. It is a reality. It's by Krishna's will. It is the jiva's conception of I and mine when he enters the material world that is false. Those who believe that the world is false are Mayavadis, advocates of the theory of illusion. Such people are offenders. If they think all individuality is false, all distinction is false, and therefore God is also false, the form of God. Yadavadas, why have we fallen into this illusory relationship? I think we really get into the juicy part of Jiva Dharma now. Why have we fallen into this illusory relationship? Anantadas, Bhagavan is the complete spiritual entity, Purna Chit Vastu, and the jivas are particles of spirit, Chit Kana. Kana. Kana means real small, not full, part. So why have we fallen in this relationship? Well, the foundation is Bhagavan is the complete whole, and we're particles of spirit. The jiva's first location is on the boundary line between the material and spiritual worlds. The jivas who do not forget their relationship with Krishna are empowered with the chitta shakti, the spiritual potency, and are drawn from that position into the spiritual realm, where they become his eternal associates and begin to relish his service. You can't put this in time. You can't put this under the jurisdiction of time. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, when you talk in terms of when the jiva came here, you can't refer to spiritual events, he said, through the dirt of time. This is talking about the eternal will of God. And the eternal will of God is beyond time. So these events do not happen in time. They're part of the Leela of God. And in that Leela of God, then somehow living entities come under the jurisdiction of time. Those jivas who turn away from Krishna desire to enjoy Maya, and Maya attracts them. One second. The jivas who turn away from Krishna desire to enjoy Maya, and Maya attracts them towards her by her potency. From that moment, our material state of existence comes into being and our true spiritual identity disappears. We therefore think, I am the enjoyer of Maya. This false egoism covers us with many varieties of false identities. Yadavidas, why is it that our true identity does not become manifest despite significant endeavor? Anantadas, there are two types of endeavor, appropriate and inappropriate. Appropriate endeavors will certainly dissipate false egoism, but how can inappropriate endeavors do so? Yadavidas, what are the inappropriate endeavors? So, he's saying, despite people following religion, why is it not happening? He said, because really they're appropriate and inappropriate. So now he's going to explain what is inappropriate. Some people think that their hearts will be purified if they follow karma kanda, and that they will be liberated from Maya when they practice pramajnana. But this type of endeavor is inappropriate. Others think that by practicing Ashtanga yoga, they will enter a trance of samadhi yoga and attain perfection. This is another inappropriate endeavor. There are many other types as well. Yadavidas, why are these endeavors inappropriate? Anantadas, so why is karma and jnana inappropriate? Good question. These methods are unsuitable because practicing them creates many obstacles that impede the attainment of one's desired goal. So liberation is this identity, I'm a servant of Krishna. And the obstacle of karma is that you become attached to the material conception. And the obstacle of jnana is that you become attached to the negativity of material existence in the sense of merging. In other words, the obstacle of Gyan is that you're so much in a mood of denial of thoughts and attachments because you're practicing Vairagya. The obstacle is you tend to give up activities that are spiritual because they're activities and they're thoughts, and you tend to deny them. In addition, there's only a meager possibility of attaining that goal. So even on those paths like Jnana Yoga, to achieve that goal is practically impossible. Because nahi kaschit shinamapi jatu tishtat yakarmakrit karyate yavashat karma sarva karma janayagunat. One cannot stop doing something, even for a moment, the Bhagavad Gita says. The point is that our material existence has come about because of an offense. And unless we obtain the mercy of the person whom we offended, we will not gain release from material condition and attain our pure spiritual condition. So it's we're here because of an offense to God. And we have to deal with that. And that's why bhakti is this incredibly intense change of heart that has to eradicate this sense of egoism and superiority that is even there within Brahma Gyan. What are the appropriate endeavors? Anantadat, sadhu sangha, association of devotees, and prapati, surrender, are proper means. We find the following statement about sadhu sangha in Srimad Bhagavatam 11.2.30. Atta ayanti kam shemam vichamo bhavato nakha samsareshmin shinad gopi satsanga shivadir ninam. O sinless one, we are inquiring from you about the supreme benefit. In this material world, even half a moment's association with a Shuddha Bhakta is the greatest wealth for human beings. So, to get out of the samsara, material existence, based on false egoism, we need knowledge and we need inspiration. We need to see the beauty of the concept of service, and we need to see the beauty of the application of service. And without that inspiration, both with instructions and examples, we will not change. Prabhupada is describing Gita as follows: Daivyesha Gunamayi Mama Maya Dharatya Mameviye Papadyante Mayamete. This divine potency of mine, known as Daivi Maya, consists of the three modes of nature, Sattva, Rajas, and Tamas. Human beings cannot cross over this Maya by their own efforts, and therefore it is very difficult to overcome. Only those who are surrendered unto me can cross beyond this potency of mine. O great soul, I cannot understand your explanation very well. I've understood that we are pure entities. Okay, wait a second. Prapti, the surrender, is described as follows. Deveshi gunamayi, mamamaya dharatya, mamibhiye papajyante mayam. So that's surrender. The divine potency of mind, known as Devi Maya, consists of the three modes of nature, sattvas, rajas, and tamas. Human beings cannot cross over this Maya by their own efforts, and effort is very difficult to overcome. Only those who have surrendered unto me can cross this potency. Chandidas, oh great soul, I cannot understand your explanation very well. I've understood that we are pure entities, and due to our forgetfulness of Krishna, we have fallen into the hands of Maya and are bound in this world. If we obtain Krishna's mercy, we can be delivered again, otherwise we remain in the same condition. Anantadas, yes, for now it is sufficient for you to believe this much. Yadavadas Mahasai clearly understands all these truths. Gradually you come to understand these things from him. Sri Jagannanda has written a beautiful description of the variegated conditions of the jivas in his book, Sri Prema of Art 6113. Chitkana, Jiva, Krishna, Chinmaya, Bhaskar, Nitya Krishna, Deke, Krishna, Karine, Adhar, Krishna Baha Mukha Haya Boga Vancha Kare Nikatasta Maya Tari Chapatiya Dare. And now there's so many. I'll read one and then we'll next class we'll read the rest. The jiva is an infinitesimal particle of spiritual consciousness, like an atomic particle of a light emanating from the sun. Sri Krishna is the complete spiritual consciousness, the transcendental sun. As long as jivas focus their attention on Krishna, they maintain reverence from him. However, when they turn their attention away from Krishna, they desire material enjoyment. Krishna's deluding potency, Maya, who is standing near them, and binds them in her embrace. The dharma of the jiva who is turned away from Krishna becomes covered, just as a person's intelligence becomes covered when he is haunted by a witch. He forgets Bhagavan's identity and his own identity as a servant of Hari. Becoming a slave of Maya, he wanders here and there for a long time in this bewildered material existence. Sometimes he's a king and sometimes a subject, sometimes a Brahmin and sometimes a Sudra. Sometimes he's happy and sometimes distressed. And sometimes he's a tiny insect. Sometimes he's in heaven, sometimes on earth, and sometimes in hell. Sometimes he's a deva and sometimes a demon, and sometimes he's a servant and sometimes a master. As he is wandering like this throughout material existence, if by some great fortune he happens to obtain the association of pure bhakti, comes to know his own identity and his life becomes meaningful. By his association with those bhaktas, he understands his true identity and becomes indifferent to material existence. Grieving bitterly for his predicament, alas, 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 why did I serve Maya for so long? He cries profusely and prays at the lotus feet of Bhagavan. O Krishna, I am your eternal servant. But I have been ruined because I disregarded the service of your feet. Who knows how long I've been wandering aimlessly as a slave of Maya. O petit pavana, O dinanath, please protect this destitute soul. Deliver me from your Maya and engage me in your service. Sri Krishna is an ocean of mercy. And when he hears the jivas cry out in such desperation even once, he quickly transports him across this insurmountable material energy. Krishna empowers the jiva with his chit shakti so that Maya's power to attract the soul gradually wanes. The jiva then turns his back on Maya and desires to attain Krishna. He worships Krishna again and again and finally becomes confident to attain his lotus feet. Maya ke pichane raki Krishna panachai. Bhajate Krishna Parapadma Pai Krishna Tari Dena Nija Chit Chakira Bhava Maya Akarshana Chari Hoya Jubala Jubala Saru Sange Krishna Nam E Matta Chai Samsare Janitaya Koya Vashtukai. Therefore, the only infallible method to cross this insurmountable material existence is to chant Krishna Nam. And the association of the Hare Krishna, this is Dhanadara Swami. Would anybody like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. I don't know if you heard me before.
I didn't hear you, but it's always nice to hear you.
Thank you.
Okay, anybody else?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, this is Agrave.
I love that you always attend the classes. We have this core group here. Good. Anybody else? Okay, well, today we had a nice session. Thank you.